Long meeting tonight, so turn on the...
Okay. Your race.
I call the December 5th, 2023 Committee of the Whole meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, 7 p.m. Member Bourne is absent. Commissioner Kobe?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Spector?
Here.
Chair Spain?
Here. So it's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we do take comments under advisement. Are you all here for the Eagle Scout project? Okay. All right.
All right.
With that, I think we can move on to our next agenda item.
Kyle,
providing an introduction.
Yep.
Thank you very much, President Spain. So I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming Jonathan Miller here tonight to present to the board Eagle Scout project that he did over at Clara Deep Bird Sanctuary. Jonathan is a junior at Goodyear High School, a Glencoe resident and an Eagle Scout. And he came to us in early summer and proposed a project over at Clara Deep. Just so happened that we had been discussing and making improvements over there, so it was really the perfect fit for a project that was mutually beneficial. Very happy with the work that was completed and very excited to have Jonathan here tonight to present it to the board. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jonathan. Take it away.
Right.
Thank you. So I'm just going to kind of give all of you a brief overview of everything that we accomplished in the past few months at the RID sort of new butterfly sanctuary. So first of all, we fundraised most of the money for the project, or virtually all the money for the project, through a GoFundMe. I created a GoFundMe video, which went to moments to essentially explain the project to all the donors and not all of you, to help explain what we were going to do and how it would benefit not just the people who enjoy the park, but all the animals that enjoy it as well.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Miller, and I'm a Boy Scout for Resolution 28. This is the Clara Deep Bird and Butterfly Sanctuary. For my Eagle project, I'm looking to revitalize the nature park with the help of the park district and many volunteers.
You can see that the path that goes through the sanctuary has been worn down over time. With the help of our volunteers, we plan to lay down new wood chips and new logs to mark the past, while also removing any garbage that may be there. In addition, we are planning to power wash the benches and, if possible, with extra funding, buy new benches for the park to make it more comfortable and convenient for people to enjoy.
Finally, we will also be replacing all the broken birdhouses in the park, as well as adding new ones. We will also be adding new flying squirrel boxes to add and attract this new animal in the park for people to enjoy.
The first main objective of the project was to lay out wood chips, which the park district provided for us. There were two main work weekends for the project, the second of which I'll go into in just a minute. The first weekend, the main objective was to spread all these wood chips. On the left, you can see myself and a few other scouts using the rakes provided by the park district to help spread them along the path. We originally planned to make the path about an inch thick, but we ended up having enough wood chips to make it 3 inches thick, making basically a complete new layer for the path. In addition, there's actually a woman that walked by us while we were doing this work, who appeared to be angry at us for working on the park, and she thought that it was good, just as it was. Started laughing at her and explaining that we were aiming to revitalize the park, but it still keep its rustic feel. She calmed down a bit and thought that we were doing a good job.
Welcome to our world.
Another side goal of the first group weekend was to pop wash all the benches. There are three benches currently in the sanctuary. On the left, you can see the stone bench. On the right, you can see the traditional wood bench. And then there's also a bench made out of a large tree that has been cut in half. You can see the clear contrast, especially the left bench, which made the bench before it was pop washed and after. I can speak from experience and say that it was much more pleasant and a lot less gross to sit on after it was power washed. In addition, we had some troubles doing the power wash originally because we had to figure out a way to get some water to the park. But my mother actually ended up knowing somebody that lived right around the sanctuary who works on the library board with her. So we ended up requesting and getting access to a spigot so we can run as many photos from this house to the sanctuary.
That's awesome.
The main objective of the second work weekend was to line the path with new logs. Previously, a lot of the logs had sort of disappeared over time that outlined the trail. So in some areas, although you could see where the witches were, it wasn't super clear where the path was. So the park district helped provide a large pile of logs for us to use, as well as we forged for a semester log throughout the park on our own, just to lay along the path and remark it. We also dealt with a lot of the existing birdhouses that were there while adding new ones and flying crosses while we were there the second weekend. You can see here the two existing birdhouses that were there before. The one on the left had been largely destroyed by time, as you can see that it was missing two of its walls and about half of its roof, making it pretty unusable to any birds that would want to stay there. So we ended up climbing on a ladder and taking that one down, as well as we found the birdhouse on the right in the far corner of the sanctuary, which then we opened up and we were just expecting to find maybe some mud or something, but my mouse jumped out and started climbing along the back. It was kind of scary. So then we had to open up the birdhouse, clean out some mouse poop, which is kind of gross, and then just get rid of all the gunk contained in there. But in the end, we cleaned it all out and just left it there, so some new birds can use it now. After working with the existing birdhouses, we installed some new birdhouses in the sanctuary. You can see in the right and left photos, you can see me on the ladder balancing the birdhouses and then installing them using gel and gel extending. We also specifically chose red houses, which were helped pick out by Eric and Gravity, in order to make sure that the birds were able to fit into them and enjoy them, but also it would give them the protection from the predators that are native. We also installed some flying sprouts, which although I personally have not seen flying sprouts here, I know that they do exist here. So hopefully we'll be able to see flying sprout in the sanctuary in the future. You can see in the left a little close-up where there's an entrance in the top of the first of the squirrel house and on the bottom, and there are little notches that you can see that allow the squirrels to climb up. And there's also some hay for nesting. On the right, you can see my parents helping. Or my parents installing the flying sprouts. Some main stats for the project were we donated, we raised $1,033 in the project, and we ended up with $235. Sorry, the slide isn't correct. $235 to be donated to the park district in order to purchase a new park bench or help continue to improve the sanctuary in another way. We have 15 scouts and volunteers. That helped work over the two work weekends, and over 100 combined hours that were contributed to the work on the project and to making the entire process successful. Finished product, the revitalized but still rustic sanctuary. As explained, they are the new birdhouses and flying sprouts to help attract more animals. You can see in the image, although it's slightly small, you can see on the big tree on the left, below that dark spot where the old birdhouse was that we had to remove, you can see the new birdhouse, which is at its elevation of 6 feet. And then on the right, it's sort of more difficult to see. If you look up about, I guess, a foot in what's on the board, you can see a little brown box, which is flying squirrel house. That the different elevations to make sure that there's no competition or conflict between the two animals, so they can both enjoy their respective spaces. Overall, the park is more comfortable and convenient for people who enjoy it. We also added, as you can see in this picture, this path did not exist previously, but we thought that it made sense given our extra wood chips and given that there was actually no path to one of the benches before, which was kind of sitting in the middle of the path or the park, that we added in this new path there to make it easier and also just made it look really nice, I think. I want to give a special thanks to Kyle, Jared, Aaron, and Lisa, because without all of you, this project might not have been possible, and you all really helped me get there and help me stop tracking well.
Thank you.
Thanks for following and continued support. And I've also got the check here for the leftover.
Oh.
Wow.
Thank you.
You guys stand by each other.
Can you get a picture with the board?
Yep. Can you guys go take a picture?
Yeah, sure. I am wearing sweats.
Well.
And if you have any questions as well, please feel free to ask.
Thank you.
So let me get this straight. You are paying us.
Yeah, to do work. Yeah, we love that. Bark a little closer. There you go.
Should we smile at the camera first?
So I have to say that
there were a lot over COVID last year. We actually just combined another troop. So I want to say that I'm the
I have to say, Jonathan approached us with this idea. He came fully prepared with his idea, which is actually very unusual. Usually they approach us and say, what do you need done? And he had the idea, and the first meeting hits right in his mind what he wanted to do. So it's been a pleasure working with Jonathan. I know Kyle and Jared took the brunt of this, and I was at the first meeting. So thank you very much. We love when people come to volunteer that much time for beautification of the park. So thank you for including us in your Eagle Scout project.
Thank you.
We wish the best, and let us know how it goes.
One question. Who did Troop 28 merge with?
It's not merge. Troop 28 from Atlanta, Troop 18, which is the little
troop
from
Atlanta,
our
kind of
blew up a bunch of things.
Okay.
Together, they're doing
it.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I just can't wait to stop by and see flying squirrels.
He does too. Excellent. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you.
It.
No problem. Thank you.
Have a nice night.
Lots to be proud of.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're more than welcome to stay, but it's a long meeting. So, thank you for volunteering also. I saw you up on there in ladders.
Thank you so much. All right, next on the agenda, we're starting with a discussion of Fund 65. Can we send Kyle to present the information?
Thank you, President Spain. So, as mentioned, I will be discussing post-capital projects for funds 65 and 69. We're going to start with Fund 69, which is our operating or keeping the lights on fund. Following Fund 65, we'll shift over to discussions on Fund 69, which is our master capital fund. We'll also be discussing Fund 45, our safety and security measures. And close out the presentation with a discussion on future projects. We look ahead to the next 10 years post-comprehensive. Attached to the board package, you'll receive memos as well as the heat sheets for both Fund 65 and 69. We talked about the heat sheets before, that we rely on them to track the age of our assets, their useful life, their expected year of replacement, and their expected replacement cost. The heat sheets are not the end-all be-all for project recommendations, but they are certainly one of the guiding things we use when making recommendations. So as noted, Fund 65 is our operating capital funding source, typically funding amounts in the $500,000 to $550,000 range, not including any carryover balances. Projects that typically come out of Fund 65 are critically important in keeping the lights on type projects, as well as smaller capital projects that fall outside of Fund 69 master plan scope. Just want to recap real briefly the Fund 65 projects from this current fiscal year. We had the final of three air handler rebuilds, the sensory room and staff workspace project, which we're wrapping up final design. It is looking like it will be rolled over to next year and funded out of the special rec fund. Weinberg pickleball courts, which is six module pickleball courts in Sullivan Hockey Rink. Community Hall AV, which we are expecting to find the final elements to be put into place 2 weeks from now. The Kubota purchase, gym equipment upgrades, early childhood prevention design study, and a Jacob lobby furniture. Just wanted to kind of note that there'll be a theme in the beginning of the proposed project that we had a nice picture, I think, of addressing some equipment from the parks and things within the building, as well as some recreational activities as well. Before we jump into the proposed projects for the upcoming fiscal year, we want to talk about the one carryover project we do have out of 165, the Struck 6 replacement. We did bid this out in the summertime, did not receive any responsible bidders. Are looking to roll this over to next fiscal year and purchase through a joint cooperative purchasing alliance, which the neighboring districts have had better success with actually procuring those F-250 type of trucks.
Yes. Why is it difficult to get a bid?
So when we bid it out, we got one person to put a bid in. They couldn't guarantee that they would be able to meet the exact specifications for the color, body color, and the plow package we needed, and get it to us within this fiscal year. So by going to cooperative purchasing alliance, it casts a wider net for procuring trucks, whether it be locally or across the country.
So Carol, ever since the pandemic, trucks in particular have been very hard to come by. They're still delayed, the manufacturing. So there's been a backlog because during that 2 years, hardly any trucks were being manufactured. They couldn't get the parts. So everybody put off, you know, replacing their vehicles. So this kind of work truck is hard to come by right now.
The way a traditional bid package goes out, too, it's really hard to solicit dealerships to come in and put a bid on something that they could probably get more wrong a lot selling it to the person who comes in and buys it and it rolls in. So the first line tells us to specify exactly what we need. They go out and source that from somewhere in the country based on a hard bid.
Okay, yeah, that's so interesting. I guess, you know, I think, oh, it's just a pickup truck. You know, it's in green color with a logo with whatever add-on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
not a lot of inventory out there.
Well, the auto strike probably didn't help.
Yeah, the
auto
didn't help.
The strike didn't help. Probably didn't
yeah.
help either.
No, that didn't help either. Okay.
Anything else on the truck?
No. Oh. We're in meetings every day.
So before we jump into the proposed fiscal year 2024-25 projects, just want to note that we'll be going either item by item or in groupings of items. Feel free to stop me at any point, ask questions, I'll give clarifications, and then at the end of the Fund 65 portion, we'll have a summary page as well. So the first item falls under the Park Maintenance Equipment category. It's a replacement of our Toro Tri-Deck mower. This unit is now 15 years old. We'll be approaching its 15-year expected useful life. This is the backbone of our mowing equipment. It's our largest piece of mowing equipment, cutting our 99 acres of parks. We don't want to find ourselves in a position where this thing goes down for an extended period of time, which is why we're recommending the purchase of a new unit in a $95,000 budget allocation. Any questions on the mower?
And it is, I'm sure you've done the analysis, it is much more cost effective for us to buy a new one than to outsource mowing or anything like that.
Yeah, we just had the exercise we went through last year where bringing it in-house was much more cost effective and gave us control over quality work and responsiveness. So,
okay, so make sure.
Moving on to calling it a grouping of building mechanical improvements. Highlighted by the replacement of our two currently obsolete elevator controllers, a tandem or a pair of sanitary ejector pumps, building automation system software updates, a commercial fridge replacement, and rear lot turnaround lighting improvements, which just to clarify, this is that parking lot in the back corner, in the northeast corner of the turnaround. There's a couple of solar power lights that don't put out any decent light output, as tried to be illustrated to that picture. I can answer any specific questions right now about individual items, if there are any, but this is kind of our building mechanical improvement.
Where's the fridge?
The fridge is up here in the kitchen here. Was up here. It had several issues over the course of the summer. It's now in the parks area. That's why we're requesting a replacement.
It's our early childhood, children's circle fridge.
We put a temporary place, but it's, we don't want to be losing stock of food.
Yeah.
That's why it's recommended for replacement.
And just out of curiosity, no fridges are expensive. Those commercial fridges are just a pain to maintain. Like, why not just buy three regular fridges and stick it in.
So I think the way I would answer that is commercial fridges are meant to be open and closed with a lot of frequency. They keep up with that kind of demand. If they get left open in a residential fridge, you'll deal with potential issues of freezing up the condenser coil and essentially creating the same problems. The $10,000 is a direct replacement for the exact model there. When we actually go to stores, this is the guy who will look at the different options. Mm-hmm. But I think we want to stay in the commercial end of things. I don't think we want to risk putting in residential, given that.
Yeah, we all learned something new.
Extremely tight, too, yeah. So it's a very specific size, so multiple units would be tricky there.
Okay. I believe you. I was just curious.
I'm actually surprised it's only $10,000.
Me too. I just bought a $5,000 fridge. Oh, come on.
What kind of fridges do people have?
They're expensive.
They're expensive.
Like,
and they last freaking 4 years.
Yeah.
Sure. Like a wire rack. There's no fancy things in there.
Yeah.
Commercial in terms of the compressor.
Yeah.
Correct. Anything else on this grouping of recommendations? Right, next, we move on to the, we'll call the recreational improvements grouping. We have four items out of here highlighted by the early childhood shade structures, recommended community installation of three medium-sized shade structures on the early childhood playground, upgrades to the gym curtain operators and tying them into our control panel for the gym equipment, fitness studio with floor refinishing down on the lower level at Pegas, as well as recoding the main gym. And finally, a line item allocation for Weinberg furniture and additional work, just to be prepared for as we move into a new building, things that might come up that we can expect, we can see how the spaces are used, we want to be prepared to potentially respond to those needs. Anything specific?
Did I not see the $50,000 for Weinberg on the list?
Fund 6, I should have said this in the beginning, the project that was sent to you, there was two changes between PAC going out today. We moved the $50,000 for Weinberg from Fund 69 into Fund 65. So okay. That's probably if you're looking at the Fund 65 project list, not
yes.
On that one, it's
I
not
am.
Fund 69 that was provided.
Oh.
And
okay.
It was moved into there just based on discussions about where it made more sense, and then we purchased AKIF furniture this year out of 65, so it will stay consistent and make more sense here.
Were there projects that you really wanted to do that didn't make this list?
So out of Fund 65, that's going to be more of our parks equipment, building mechanicals, things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always things that would have been nice to be able to tackle. We're working within our $500,000 to $550,000 budget and having discussions with the rec team and finance and admin as a group. Just this is kind of the grouping that we thought best met the needs that each department had heading into this. Maybe a roundabout way of saying that there's other stuff that would have been nicer based on our ability to fund out there $550,000.
As part of our process, we want to solicit input from staff and then they kind of run that up to the department heads and then the department heads, and at least we all can have that discussion based on what's out there.
It's
quite the debate sometimes.
Yeah, I was just wondering how I see the apps,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, just kind of wondering like why did we finish one floor versus another floor? Did it just come up on a cycle or is there
So for a lot of this in the Fund 65 key sheet, it's a lot of called relatively smaller in comparison to Fund 69, so we're constantly mm-hmm. picking and choosing how best to utilize that $550,000. Mm-hmm. I would recommend purchasing five trucks 1 year and not addressing building improvements or some recreational needs as well. So mm-hmm. It's a balancing act of where the needs are for each department and what is most, for example, the mower, critically important piece of equipment, sanitary ejector pumps, something that we certainly don't want to risk having to go down. So just a balancing act.
And floors, we look at what would be the cost if we put it off a year. And sometimes it costs more if we delay it 2 or 3 years. That's an example of those floors. If we don't maintain them earlier on their cycle, they could become damaged and it would cost us more in the future. So,
I wish somebody could come to my house and do that assessment.
I know someone that does that. So.
Two questions then. One, and I think I know the answer to this. When we go out there and we say, hey, look, we're putting 50,000 or 45,000 into the park, into the playground, which we did just about 2 years ago redo. It's a lot of money, by the way, for that playground. I agree that shade is good. I wish we thought of that when we did the playground, but I know funds are always tight. We do not look to GJK, who also uses it to help fund these things, right? We do this on our own, and we just, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, when people say, you know, when we charge GJK 25% to run it, this hopefully is where it's supposed to go. But there's no, we don't go back and ask them to help.
So for things like the playground, we don't usually, it's part of their thing. Security improvements, for example, that you'll see in the next slide, we will go back and we'll say, we're going to make these upgrades to our rooms. If you'd like to be included, this is how much it'll cost. So standard things like playground, shade, things like that, we do not.
Okay. It is a, that's a pretty hefty expense. And it seemed to rise. How did that one rise to the top?
Staff input. So again, when we go in discussions with each department, I don't know if Bobby wants to speak a little more specific, but concerns about these specific areas and younger children. In the summer months, there's just really no shade coverage back there, and it's heavily used by programming and child care.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, 45,000 is a lot of money. The expected useful life is somewhere 15 to 20 years, so 2,500 to 3,000 a year. We think it's a pretty good investment so that the kids can play there longer. In the middle of the summer, it's extremely hot.
Yeah.
And there really isn't a lot of natural shade. We did identify what we were going through originally, but the scope of the project, just the funds weren't there for the time.
Okay. And parents requested. There's been a lot of parent requests for more shade.
They are legitimate commercial grade sunshade structures.
I'm fine with it. I just wanted to. 45,000 here means it doesn't go someplace else, but this sounds like a great use of money, so I'm okay with it. The Weinberg furniture, how come that's not part of the Weinberg cap? Why don't we capital expense that with the whole Weinberg project? Why is it separate?
None of the furniture would be included in the construction portion, just like if you were to build a house, your furnishing is going to come out of a separate budget. That's the way this is handled. This is really almost a contingency against knowing if we probably are going to have things come up as we start to use the building in a different way than it was used before, that we're going to have to add certain things or address certain issues that weren't taken care of as part of the
Yeah, I think I'm fine with the furniture. When I see additional work of 50 grand, because I literally just had this conversation with Brian, being like, hey, everything's in budget, we're feeling good, and then to see, oh, additional work, 50 grand, it makes me feel like
the additional work could be signage.
Totally
it could
fine.
Be, it could be soundproofing. It could be things that before we really use it in all its capacity, we don't know.
I would hope that the soundproofing and things like the building infrastructure would come out of that budget, but at the end of the day, the money's coming from somewhere. So.
Yep, they're all part of the same budget. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Next, we have our IT infrastructure replacements. These are recommendations that come directly from ex-Caltech, our IT consultant and IT support provider. Essentially, at a high level, replacing our four physical servers and one storage area network, as well as some switches, firewalls, and wireless access point upgrades. Obviously, IT things related to our network and our ability to carry out registration and all that stuff is extremely important to our ability to operate on a daily basis. Any follow-ups? I can't go into super great detail. I have a lot of specific technical, but highly recommended by our
I don't want to channel my inner Josh Lutton, but this is like...
John, can you give him the answer to that
John,
question?
John, do you want me to... I'm going to channel my inner Josh Lutton here for a second.
The servers are set to resurface on the 24. What we budgeted is to be able to have the flexibility to assess the cloud option compared to the physical servers. I know that was discussed at length at the time. These servers were purchased, and that's definitely on the table.
And sometimes Cloud is actually more expensive than servers, but we'll do a full analysis and really we trust Excalibur, they'll give us the best recommendation going forward. So this is
okay.
Let's talk real briefly on safety and security upgrades. The reason it'll be brief here is at the end of this presentation after Fund 69, we'll go into more detail regarding the larger proposed project. Wanted to highlight here that we are capped in Fund 45 for safety and security at $130,000. Our proposed total project cost is $167,000. Therefore, the $37,000 is recommended to be budgeted out of Fund 65 to cover that balance. Does that make sense? We'll get into more details about the specifics, but just wanted to highlight that this is under Fund 65 portion of that, what that line item is in the total summary. And finally, a much smaller project in terms of cost, but one that I think definitely warrants more discussion and input, is the installation of potentially installing book golf for one of our park sites. This idea was brought to my attention by a resident. After looking into it, I thought it would be potentially a really cool new recreation amenity to provide to the district at a very small upfront investment and a very minimal ongoing cost. A couple of potential options would be alongside the existing disc golf course and plots, or potentially on the west side of Vernon and the linear parks there, as well as east side of Vernon, north of Jackson. Really just wanted to open it up to the board for discussion. It's something they want us to pursue, don't want us to pursue. We don't have to make a decision tonight about where it would go. Try to lay out some pros and cons. Pros being it would be a new recreation amenity we don't currently provide. It would potentially bring in more or different types of park users. Very little upfront or ongoing cost. If we're to be next to the disc golf, the layout and design is already in place. Some potential cons would be potentially more park users and overcrowding, potentially disc golfers and foot golfers conflict, and always is a potential for neighbors in the service. Foot golf is really golf played with a soccer ball, and the cup is played larger than a 5 gallon bucket, and you play it just like you would golf or disc golf. I can answer any questions related to the foot golf, or really just interested in.
I have two questions. One, what is How big of a deal is it to keep?
Not much at all. So I think we put a cap on them in the winter months when we presumably pull the flags, so you don't have a gaping hole when there's snowfall and stuff like that. But ongoing costs, I honestly don't see there being much of any. There's a couple of neighboring districts that have this. I can reach out if there are any things I can't think of, but it's, you know, it's an auger hole in the ground filled with gravel and essentially a 5 gallon bucket and then a flag pop.
So when you say you could put it alongside the disc golf, I mean, how would that work if you have people playing disc golf?
So I think we wanted to entertain that potential option. It would work just as if you were having two groups of disc golfers play, where the disc golfers would throw, then presumably the foot golfers would foot or drive, whatever the term would be, and then the next group would go, just as if you had a group of disc golfers, and then the next group of disc golfers go. Just go, if that makes sense. So you would use the same tee box.
Yeah. Okay. So, but what do you mean when then, like, I guess what do you mean when you say that they split? Like, it's not like Anchorman where it's going to be like...
So I would say that our disc golf is very popular and there's a lot of people playing. So it may be an overcrowding issue.
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily sold on the foot golf being attached to our disc golf. I would propose that it would probably be great use of the across the street. We have a whole bunch of linear parks that are underutilized that we could easily put a foot golf course in, and this would be done in-house. The parks team would do this. Probably the most of that $5,000 would be signage, to be honest with you. And so that would be my recommendation. I think we might, based on the usage we get for disc golf, which is amazing, probably be a bit better across the street.
What about our disc golf is what, 9 holes?
9 holes, yeah.
So would the foot golf be the same?
Well, I think based on the space across Vernon, on the west side, I think it would have to be a 9 hole as well. We would have to look more specifically again. If we decide to go down this road, we'll do our due diligence and figure out what we would be able to accommodate in what location. But I would anticipate it'd be 9 holes and not 18.
Correct.
Okay.
Am I crazy for worrying about somebody following these holes, even though there's a plague? Like, what's the liability for somebody? Because that's a foot size.
So I would say that because the flag is there, I would think it would be an obvious obstacle or hazard. I think we would certainly run this through Coderma, our security, our safety and liability, to see, make sure there wasn't anything we're missing. But I think if it's properly signed and there's a flag in place, I think it would be obvious to somebody passed by.
Well, also that helps reduce your liability if you're putting up all the warnings and you can't.
Correct.
You can't stop someone who's not paying attention to all the warnings, but if the warning is there, then kind of leave
with that. And I think if something we're interested in entertaining, we can certainly come back with those responses direct from the government and know if there is anything.
Well, I guess, is there like a community interest in it? I've never heard of Look Off up until now. Like disc golf, I know a million people play it. I like it, but I don't.
I hadn't heard of it until this resident approached me, and then I started looking into it and thought this seems pretty cool, and I can see there being.
I've played it before, and it's fascinating to play. It's a kid. People that like to play soccer love to play foot golf.
Yeah, I see it as a. I've never heard of it, but my thought was also I don't want people falling. So I don't want I can see kids, but I also think if you have flags and signs, I'm not as concerned about that. We have curves that in different levels, and people have to pay attention where they walk.
I mean, someone could walk into a disc golf thing.
Yeah,
my kids are on the. Devices. Stop walking.
I'm not terribly concerned about that, but it's something that we have to just put in the back of our minds.
I mean, I'm intrigued.
What's cool about this is that, unlike a frisbee, you just need a ball, right? You don't need a soccer ball. And so it's something I could easily see telling my child, get out of the house, take this football, and go find a friend and play. Which I think is a little bit kind of more kid-friendly than the frisbee golf. Yeah, so I think it's a great idea.
We would put it in the linear parks across the street from the strip. What road is that on?
Vernon.
Those spaces aren't activated right now. We don't see a lot of football games in those pickup games in there. They're mostly passive walking. So. Except for mud run.
Right, I was thinking of mud run like some kid.
Well, we'd probably put a cover on for mud run. But I think that those are the ideal parks, to put it. I mean, they'll be activated where neighbors are used to just seeing green space, but I guess that's what our job is, to activate space and provide recreation opportunities.
The beauty of it as well is this is something that is so cheap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is so easy, and it's so easy to reverse that if there's any issue, you can always say, "We'll fill the holes and put some grass there." I'm not saying that we should ever go in doing that. I know that's not how we want to look at things.
But you're right. Or if we see that no one uses it,
It's kind of a cool thing.
It's super cheap. It's easy, like you said, to fix and get rid of if we ever need to because of the liability.
Yeah.
Also, it has a lot of upside potential, especially for a game that more kids can play versus maybe disc golf, where a 9-year-old is not willing to be disc golf pro or whatever.
Yeah, I like it.
And we're a soccer community. A lot of kids play soccer, so it's just another way for them to hone their skills, actually.
Kyle, what's the user profile? Is it a younger group of kids who plays a disc golf?
Well, the gentleman that reached out to me was my age, maybe a little bit older. He indicated him and his friends play a lot.
What do you mean by a little bit older?
Well, probably in the early 40s. So still young.
Kids as adults as well.
Yeah.
When I played, it was all of my siblings and our nieces and nephews who were 20s. So it was anywhere from 12 years old to 50. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All had a great time.
So I think we have enough to.
Do you have a consensus to keep on pursuing it?
Yeah.
Come back later for me with more.
Good. Yep.
Okay.
Great. Excellent. Thank you.
Another innovative improvement.
So new, right?
So finally, we just had the proposed Fund 65 project summary, just listing out everything we've spoken about, bringing us to a total proposed of $586,500 plus a $70,000 carryover, bringing us to a total of $656,500. Are there any additional questions on the individual items or anything else related to Fund 65 I can answer, or otherwise we can then pivot and move over to Fund 65.
Is there consensus on these?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have any further issues.
Alright, so we'll move on to Fund 69, which is previously stated is traditionally funded our master plan capital improvement projects. I'm not going to spend too much time recapping the three large projects, because we're all familiar with them, but we have the Lakefront Park tennis court playground resurfacing, the Bluff Stabilization, the joint project with Village Glencoe, and of course the Weinberg Family Recreation Center. We would have one carryover project for next fiscal year, is the gas kiln.
We'll get to that. It's poor kiln. This has been a carryover project for like 5 years now.
We keep getting...
Since 2020.
We reach out monthly for updates and essentially get the same response. It's most recently, we've been told quarter two of 2024. We're really hoping to get it lined up for August shutdown this year, but similar to the community hall audio visual, it's one of those situations where we're in a line that's apparently very long and slow moving, and to get out of that line and hop into the back another line for a pretty niche item that had to be a very specific model in order to fit into our space, we really don't have that perspective.
Yeah, I'm going to go into the kiln business after I leave the board. I just cannot believe how long this is taking.
Yep. So, as soon as we get a more definitive update, we will certainly share that.
No.
Do they have like a part that's weird for it or something?
I heard over by the fire brick. I don't know for sure that is accurate. The specific type of fire brick needed for kilns. It was a supply chain thing about the delays and manufacturing.
Okay.
So, before we hop into the proposed projects for fiscal year 24-25, just kind of wanted to talk through the thought process behind our recommended project. So as we all know, we're in the midst of a comprehensive plan from which we expect to have the next kind of 10 years mapped out. We expect to have this information in spring of 2024, which point we begin to more specifically plan, prioritize, and budget for future projects. So given the reality of the comprehensive plan and the budget processing, we are recommending 24-25 be a planning heavy year while also addressing some items of need of critical attention. So as mentioned, you know, once we have the comprehensive plan in hand, we expect to kind of have the roadmap for the next 10 years, or at least begin to lay out that roadmap for the next 10 years worth of capital improvement projects. Projects would likely begin to start in calendar year 2025, fiscal year 25-26. With that, you would expect me to start to do the planning process the year before, which would take us to the fiscal year we're talking about, fiscal year 24-25. Architects and engineering services are needed to develop those concepts, designs, and budgets for those future larger projects. And really, for these larger types of projects, we need to start that process a year in advance. That brings us to the recommendation for an architect and engineering services proposed budget of $200,000. We want to make sure that we have the funds available to move forward with design, concept drawings, budgets, ultimately construction drawings, and bidding for potential projects. This is not if we didn't need to spend it all down, we would not spend it on something else. And this is just to make sure we have that money there to help further develop or start to develop potential new master plan projects. Any thoughts or questions on the architect engineering services? So we do propose using fiscal year 24-25 as a really heavy planning year. We do want to make sure we're still addressing some critical items that are in serious need of attention. So with that, we are recommending addressing tennis courts and ball diamonds. In the case of our tennis courts, we do have currently a tennis court assessment underway, but we do expect all four of the five tennis courts, Lakefront being the exception, to be at the end of their useful life and need significant replacements, including their fencing, footing, and full service replacement, which we're recommending to do two courts for next fiscal year and the remaining two courts for the following fiscal year. Logistically, it's unrealistic to address all four courts at once. And which two ports we ultimately would do would be based on the engineer assessment as well as input from the rec team, how to minimize impact of programming and residents. The ball diamond work that we plan on recommending or are recommending is west. This is for the plane surface only. And we are recommending, based on discussions with GBA, converting that field to a clay infield. So GBA agreed that this would be something beneficial, would help potentially grow the softball programs, which currently can only play at Takeoff, while also providing baseball at West Park. Converting to clay will be beneficial on the maintenance end of things as well, because it takes less time to prep the field, and there's less regular occurring maintenance related to the baselines and outfield lifts. With WASP, we're proposing again, plain surface only, a full restoration of the infield. This would be removing all the existing sod, regrading, laying new sod, cutting in new baselines, pitcher's mounds, batter's boxes, and regrading or recrowning so it sheet drains properly.
I feel like we have, I'm glad that we're doing stuff for the baseball fields. I feel like those have been neglected for a long time because of other projects. I'm somewhat concerned that we're putting like band-aids on them. I don't love that, and I'd like to see, you know, I know we talked about with West School, the turf, testing that out. Why is now not the right time for that?
If we're talking about the OSLAD, the larger project with the artificial?
Yeah, but like, even if, because we're not, I don't see the OSLAD thing happen in the next 12 to 24 months, but I do see our baseball fields are, and we've had these discussions before, they're not meant to be A fields, but I'd like to see a solid B, and right now we're at like a C minus compared to the fields around town, or other towns.
So I think for with regards to the West, and really all the fields is doing a $30,000 to $40,000 band-aid, which I would say is actually, you know, restoring the playing surface to be a good quality, respectful surface. I think given where we're at in the comprehensive plan process, I think it would be not a great idea to do a $600,000 artificial renovation.
Is it really that? Is it 600?
Yeah, I mean, there's under drains and infrastructure and a lot of factors that would go into that. So my belief is that doing the $40,000 work to give the quality plane surface while we figure out where West Park falls in to our tender plan and to what scope is probably the approach. This type of work as well, if we decided to not do artificial there, to not do artificial or to do it somewhere else, this work wouldn't be a sunk cost. You could still do backstops, dugouts, bleachers, pathways, and not have this work just go to waste, if that makes sense.
I really do wish that, you know, baseball is a really, it's a galvanizing way in the softball, especially, is a great sport that is open. In baseball, actually, GBA is open to both boys and girls. Softball is usually for girls, although I think boys can probably join. I don't think there's a rule against it. But it's a galvanizing way for these kids to get together. I would love to see us put an investment in there if that's what the community wants. I've heard anecdotally they do, but we'll see from these surveys. I don't want in 3 or 4 years to say, oh, we just put 30,000 to 40,000 in, why would we put more in?
That's not the case. And so we'll see when we have our major, after we get all of our surveys back, we get what the community wants, and we have our much larger 169 master plan, you know, prioritizing the lifts and Mendes. We'll talk about that, but this would not go to waste. This, you know, if even tomorrow, if we're going to do something, it's going to take a while to get those plans. So we need to make improvements even for next year.
Yeah.
So it won't go to waste.
Questions specifically for Dennis Forrest as well?
I have a question. It's for the field here. I know, didn't we say that the lighting there needs to be in place around that field?
Yeah, it's a more conversation again. That's where how that comes out of the comprehensive plan process and how we determine where that falls in our prioritization over the next 10 years. But absolutely, on the heat sheets, take a field and take a field light and make sure there are paths for useful light, currently used for a bunch of these fields. Anything else? I want to highlight Friends Park resurfacing. One of the other items I mentioned is that we did our park tour this summer and discussed tennis courts and ball fields and south of Friends Park and talked about the servicing. We also have the condition. Staff did reach out to contractor for pricing for professional patch and repairs. We have currently budgeted $10,000 in operating to address those gouges, cracks, holes, missing areas. We did also reach out to get a price for replacing the entire safety surface, which came back at a cost of $250,000. For reference, we would anticipate the cost of the full playground replacement to be in the $750,000 range. A lot of factors going into what that number would be ultimately. Just kind of wanted to highlight to the board that we do have plans to address it. We're hopeful that the repairs that we're going to make can last a couple of years. We may have to do the repairs again until we get to the point, again, like a lot of the things we're talking about, is where does that playground replacement fall on the prioritization list.
So if you did a full replacement, surface replacement for $250,000, when we were to replace the playground, that would be all thrown out and we'd have to start anew. So.
Is it called, do the colors match?
So it'll match as best as we can. It will look a little patchwork. It will. I think the goal is to keep it safe, accessible, until we come up with a larger plan. Or the option would be to do the whole thing for $250,000. To Lisa's point, just understanding that when we go to do a larger project, that gets ripped out and thrown away.
So this playground is about 10 years old, and so the playground equipment has a life of 20, 25 years. Knowing it's in a high-profile park, that it, because we don't like faded slides and things like that in a high-profile park, probably more realistic is about 15 to 18. So if we put that full replacement, it would be torn out potentially in 5 to 7 years. So.
What's causing all this? Like, it's all over the place. Like, is it just going to keep happening? It's like whack-a-mole.
So I think you can kind of see it, the bad ones picture here are directly next to the spinning equipment where you get a lot of heavy foot traffic and kids digging in. I think that's part of the problem as well as just the age of it. It's starting to show that wear in those spaces. So we'll have to address them as they pop up while we work towards.
I mean, it gets excessive.
To Lisa's point about the equipment lasting 20 plus years, this place gets used extremely heavily, so it takes a lot of use.
Bart and I remember when this was wood chips. My first 10 years ago, I remember this used to be wood chips at Friends Park. I mean, it's old. I would rather spend $10,000 over 5 years than $250,000 once, if it's even whack-a-mole, because I just cannot believe how every time I see numbers here, my mind just gets boggled. But $250,000 for a full surface replacement is a lot, especially if we don't think that if we think there's a high likelihood that it gets torn out in 5 or 6 years.
It would when we tear down the playground. You can't.
Yeah. I mean that to me is not fiscally responsible of us. Again, $10,000 to $15,000 over a year or 5 years would make a lot more sense than $250,000 at once.
I agree. I think though that this is a just in terms of like I don't know if we want to be doing this for 7 years. Something to consider. When
yeah, no, we may have to think about redoing the park earlier.
Because I know the equipment might last, but I think it's really funny. My first grader, every time she goes, she points out all the flaws and asks me what we're doing about it. So she is my mother's daughter.
Nice that your kids talk to you.
But I mean, it's very, like, it seems like this is broken, this is everything I hear about. But I mean, I know. Other parks are really cool and really important, but everyone sees this one. So just and putting in my two cents that I don't think we should go 7 years.
So do you
and the board may advance that earlier when we talk about the master plan projects, and that's fully so again, this is one that I would say do the patch this year, because we might go into talk, and what if next year you say let's replace the whole thing early, then we just spend $250,000 for nothing. So
Was it part of this park replaced like 2 years ago?
No, the whole
was
thing
the
was
replaced. Wasn't there?
There was some replace. I think repairs.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a section repair. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a section. It was a section. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was. good memory. Okay.
Well, if you ever want to know what to improve, you can just go on a tour with my daughter.
Want to hear from the
users. They usually have that. Is. I love it, though.
And I'll volunteer you to go on a tour with GBA.
It's going to be a future Park and Rec person. So, yeah. All right. We're, you know, next year, really, when we have this, it's going to have to be like a half-day workshop because it's probably more than we can discuss in an hour board meeting. When we really look at the plan for the next 5 years, it's going to be a good discussion.
So that brings us to our Fund 69 project cost summary. We have just listed out the items we discussed, just noting that Watson Central are currently the two I'm using. That's based on just my observation. We'll have discussions about which ones to specifically do that are fitted with our programming and minimizing impact.
I'm sorry, the Watson Central coaches said there's four courts, right?
There is four courts at Central, three courts at Watts, three courts at West, two courts at Shaw.
And is this for all of the courts?
Yes. So, yes, that is all courts. Got it. Full removal, full replacement, including fencing.
And
got it.
Before we... I think you said you were doing one or the other.
We were proposing to do two this fiscal year.
Two shots.
And the other two. So two locations. This could... be Watts and Shelton, and then next year would be Central and West.
Yeah. So this is where I struggle because we've put so much into tennis courts and we have nothing for the baseball. And I know you're doing 70 for baseball, but you've got these tennis courts that are usable and you're putting 600 into them this year. That is turf on a baseball field that will last.
So I think there's a couple things there. I think
perpetuity.
The work, the $46,000 and $31,000 that were spending on the baseball fields, they're going to make those playing surfaces look brand spanking new. Is it before the dugouts and the backstops? This isn't addressing that, but providing that playing surface to be of high quality. In the case of West, while we figure out what we're ultimately doing at that location. With the tennis courts, it's just they've been overlaid and overlaid, and those cracks just keep superficially producing themselves. And they're at the point where they need to be fully removed and replaced. Some of the cracks might open up to a full inch or more width on a plane surface, which
is a safety issue.
Playability.
I know, but there's
it's the cost.
I know. I'm just cognizant that we keep putting a lot of money into tennis, and there are other sports in town as well.
But those tennis courts are, every time I drive by any of them, they're in use.
They're in use in the summer. That's totally true. The baseball fields.
You can play baseball though on most surfaces. Like if you're, I'm not saying that I don't want our field done, but you can't. You know, at some point, the tennis courts render.
Right, and you've got options with tennis courts. We don't have very good options. We've got one baseball field that's a solid B.
I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah, I just put it in perspective out there. I'm not going to say no. I'm just putting it in perspective that we put a lot into tennis.
Do we earn a lot back from tennis since we have so many programs on those courts? Just curious.
We run a lot of tennis programs. I wouldn't say we generate hundreds of thousands of dollars back to that revenue, but definitely one of our larger programs.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how, I guess one justification could be that the fees help pay for it, and that it's a really probably significant fee generation that goes back into the surface.
You engage on a baseball field, you're engaging 22 kids at one time.
I think baseball's important.
I know, there's arguments either way. Like three courts at Watts, you're talking 6 to 10 people. One baseball field, you get 20. There's arguments either way. I want to make sure that we are thinking about it. And making sure that we are, and again, I think the survey will come back and tell us where to put our money, but I want to make sure that we're thinking about it from the community. I realize that I'm probably the only one with a kid in baseball here, but it's just
all
the
other kids.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
No, I mean, my kid's in baseball, he's not here, but he was, and yes, I agree. Again, his age, he doesn't know a good field from a bad field.
Yeah.
The parents are the ones who know.
Yeah. Well, no, but when you start getting to the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, there's bad bounces. And we just haven't given it the love that I think it should.
I think we have, because we invest a lot in Berlin, you know.
Berlin is
just the A field, right? So not to say that we won't in the future, absolutely. We're gonna readdress that when we get the survey, when we look at all of our capital needs. This will in this year by a time.
Yeah.
If we don't do the tennis courts, they're just gonna get worse. And it's a safety hazard. In addition, we will be having discussions probably February, March, about if we want to move some of these to pickleball courts also. So, you know, if we say tennis courts, but we'll have that discussion. There's more and more of a push to District of Columbia, Columbus, Washington, D.C. is actually, they passed their park and rec press ordinance that you cannot put tennis and pickleball together anymore because of the fighting.
Oh,
so we'll have that discussion.
It's not a fight
Washington,
in D.C. Not a fight in D.C. We're Glencoe. We're
anyways, no, they're really not. But but we'll be having that discussion in more length of if we should convert some of our tennis courts to pickleball, where that be. I just want you to know we're going to have that discussion before we do these tennis courts, so which will affect the lining of them really. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
With that, we move on to safety and security coming out of Fund 45. So, as we mentioned in the previous slide of Fund 65, we have a project that we're looking to tackle several safety and security items. Just going line by line, we have upgrades to security hardware and software, upgrading 21 existing analog cameras, installing one single new camera and three new quad cameras. Both previous items are updated. Upgrading 16 existing card readers with Bluetooth-enabled devices on the secure main here at TACA, similar to what Ford approved for Weinberg a couple months back. And installing Bluetooth control access on the lower level TACA elevator to prevent people that have no reason to be in the secure wing from using the elevator to get into a vestibule outside of enrichment and early childhood. That's a grouping of security and safety improvements that are either required or highly recommended. The reason they're required is we currently are unable to retain our video records for the legally required 30 days, partially because of the security hardware and software, also because of the analog cameras. They take up more storage space, therefore we can't be 3DH. That grouping is what staff would consider to be either required or it's highly recommended. We also have below that the additional $89,000 is for some potential classroom door security improvements. We're still trying to determine if that work will fit into the TACA operations. We're going to see how it works over at Weinberg. But we would like to have that money available if we do choose to move on that work. If not, the money could not be spent or could be available if new potential security measures arise throughout the year, and going to focus on safety and security, having that additional money there to use. It would be obviously out of Fund 45, it could be used on anything else, but it would be potentially available there.
This would be example if we find success with the Bluetooth enabled card, that we would actually go back to GJK and say, hey, this is technology we're putting in our classrooms. If you know they have the keys, if you would like to add this to your doors, that's something that we would ask them to fund for themselves.
So
we'll fund the security doors coming into the wing, but their own classrooms, they would have to fund any upgrades on those.
So just to clarify, this is $130,000 in cap from 45, and that's again $37,000 what we saw earlier in the fund 65.
I think you said on the cameras, we need to back up the pictures, photos, whatever, for 30 days. Is it required by the government?
That's required by law.
Yeah.
By law.
Okay. Okay. Sounds
good. Is it enough? No, I mean, like, is this like, do we have to come back and are there other security things that you would want to do? Or is this like,
we're doing our master plan, which includes security.
Yeah.
So there may be next budget year to add more, but this is what we feel this year is a good amount.
Okay, so with that, if there's nothing else on Fund 65, 65, 69, or safety and security, I'm going to pass it off to John and Lisa. They're going to discuss our current and projected fund balances as it relates to our deferred maintenance projects and the each that were provided.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Kyle. So given that we are included the heat sheets in the committee packet tonight, we thought it would be a good opportunity to kind of lay out at a pretty high level where we stand in terms of the expenditures needed to support those improvements. So the blue line here on this slide here represents total expenditures over the course of the next 10 years. Which equates to a little over $20 million. The red line is our projected fund balance. So we see that in fiscal 26, that's when the expenditures really ramp up, and that basically exhausts any fund balance that we have in Fund 69. Recognizing that it's not really feasible for us to do all these projects in 1 year, this is more just meant to provide a visual way as to, if we did address all the projects that are basically at their useful life per the heat sheet today, if we did address them as soon as possible, which would be obviously fiscal 26, as we just discussed fiscal 25, that would be a little more than $12 million and put us into a deficit in terms of a fund balance that we really wouldn't be able to pull out over the course of the 10 years based on all the projects that are mapped out and summarized in the heat sheets and in tonight's packet. So we did talk about this at the May workshop on comprehensive plan. So just kind of a reminder as to where we stand based on what we know today and what's on the heat sheets. And based on what we're projecting to have the fund balance over the course of the next 18 to 24 months.
So this is where I come in and do a little reality check. So obviously you see that in order to continue to invest in the park district in our critical infrastructure, for the district to maintain the standards we have had for the last 10 years, we don't have enough money to do that. So either the board has to make some really, really hard decisions of getting rid of assets, or we have to look at going for a referendum. So in December 1st of 2025, our debt for takeoff rolls off.
Yep.
We could do a $13 million referendum and keep the tax rate the same if it were to pass. That would allow us to do the maintenance area, that would allow us to do baseball fields, that would allow us to do friends, that would allow us to do the beach house. Probably all these things that are coming up on, that are going to come back for the master plan, with exception if they ask for a pool, that would not be able to fund that. But to fund what we have on the heat sheets, in my opinion, we have no other recourse than to go for a referendum. Not to raise, we could ask for more money. If you guys say, let's go for $20 million, we could. But if we wanted to say, we want to keep our tax rate the same, it won't go up. That would be our recommendation, to go for a referendum to keep that the same, to not have taxes go down, but yet have funding to do the critical infrastructure we have. So with that said, I'm throwing it on to you to see what you feel about that.
Can you remind me, in terms of referendum campaigns, how we can't, staff can't do that, board members can't go out there and do
sure.
that? Like, I guess just, I feel like you have a really strong story within, keeping the levy flat, and usually those seem to be successful, but somebody has to go out there and tell that story.
Okay, I can tell you that, because actually we did investigate this, because we're all not experts in that field of referendums, right? We don't do them that often. There was a firm that I reached out to after talking to Park Ridge Director, Glenn Hughes Director. Park Ridge just passed a $32 million referendum.
$32
million referendum.
Huge.
It's huge, yeah. But it was interesting because it was only for one type of amenity. But anyways, Glenview passed the 20 plus, I don't know exactly how much, 20 plus for their ice rink just recently. So I talked to this firm who has an 86% success rate in passing referendums, both for park districts, school districts, governments, and things like that. In fact, this company passed a Highland Park one. They failed, and then they engaged this firm. So
is that for the schools?
Yeah, for the schools over there. It's $100 million. Yeah, and he's a gentleman. It's called a Beyond Your Base. And so he helps with this whole process of passing a referendum. So I'm going to go to a little bit more, this kind of misnomer that the park district can't do anything. The park district can provide information about the referendum. In fact, that's a big part of it, is to provide clear, concise information to your taxpayers about what the referendum is. What you can't do and what we can't do is ask them to vote yes or no. We provide information, we give them what we're going to spend the money on, all the information. We just can't say, please vote yes for this referendum. That would have to be a separate citizens task force that would lead that effort if we wanted to. They're the ones that put up those yes votes. They're those yes postcards or whatever. That has to be funded totally separate. But if you want, for example, the village put a lot of information out, but put information out about the golf course.
Right,
but they never said yes, but they told you what it was going to be, and that was legally right to do. So our recommendation is why we have a very, very talented staff. We don't necessarily have the expertise in this area to do all the components of this. We would recommend engaging Paul Hanley, who is the managing director for this Beyond Your Base, to help us with this particular referendum or how to do it. What they do is they do voter analysis, voter identification. They help you with meetings with staff, they help you meet with residents to kind of formulate what the referendum would be for. They prepare the FAQ documents and the fact sheets. They help with informational mailers, press releases, gathering input on the funding. So they would bring the group together and say, this is what we're looking to fund, and if the residents would say, oh no, I don't like that, we would know ahead of time. They could do a survey if you wanted about what we're going to ask for. They provide ballot input, and a lot of times that's one of the key components. So we would recommend engaging if we want to go for a referendum in this company, if you want the best success, to put our best foot forward. It was interesting in our first initial discussion, and this is how much we don't know, I thought the presidential election would be the worst one to go for. He said that's actually the best one. He looked at our demographics, what our base of Democratic Republican voters are, who's turned out to election. He has ability to get all the information. And he said actually November at the presidential election would probably be the best election for us to go, based on how many Democratic voters turned out for the last presidential election. Democrats have a tendency to vote for referendums for public agencies. They tend to do that. So while it's, I have to be honest, it's costly. It's 0.5% of what you're going for a referendum, or approximately about 0.5% of what you're going for. So if we're going for a $13 million referendum, it's about $75,000 to engage in the service. It's a cost of doing business. You have to put money in to get the potential return on your investment. There's a chance that we could lose, right? But we would still have all that information if we would then tweak it and then go again in April. So that's where he recommend going in November, and then if it doesn't pass, go again in April to see. It's actually Lamont Park District, which is actually a very similar size to us. They just engaged him for the same kind of referendum. They are rolling off tax debt, so they're keeping it the same. He goes, that's when you want to go. You want to go when you can put on your mailers and everything, no tax rate increase. That's the best thing you can do. If we wait 2 years, then the tax drops off, and then now it would raise your taxes because right. Now it's not there. So that's our recommendation. We think strongly we have to do it. I mean, we don't have enough to... You've all seen the maintenance center.
Yeah.
Could we wait a few years and piece together money to do a baseball field and then a park? Yes. But we'll never be able to do the critical infrastructure back there, which will help us be more efficient in our park operations. If you don't invest in that, it's just going to hurt us in the long run. not to mention anything, any talk about ever doing green vehicles, anything like that, can never be done in our maintenance center.
I don't think you have to convince us that we need the money. I'm trying to figure out what the argument is with the taxpayer. Is there a way, even mildly, that you could, instead of going, what's the take of that now? 13, how much is it?
It's, what's it?
What do we
do? 13.8.
Could you go for 13 and actually say, lower your taxes?
If we went for, so the thing about the principal amount, well, it's going to be
at a different rate. I know. And that's like, I know November is a great time to go. I am like, geesh, like, interest rates are just brutal now. And so we talk about all the goodness that we have from the savings accounts. Like, oh, we've got 5 or 6% money coming through. Well, when you go to borrow, it's really, really tough.
You could have a financial advisor work around that. Like, when you do your actual bond issuance, you could do it like a bond anticipation note where you're forced to refinance if you think the interest.
Well, yeah, I was gonna ask about if you can, if we refinance, we have to go for referendum or no? We can refinance.
No, you could refund easily, and there's usually a pretty significant economic gain that comes along with
You have to assume that interest rates are going to come down, right?
Correct. You can refund pretty.
I hope they will. But is there a is there a play here where you could actually say more for your, you know, more for your parks, more for your lives, and actually less taxes? Like, I guess the consultant would know better. Is it not worth the bang for your buck to say? Because I mean, if you say same taxes, it's good. If you say lower tax rates, it's like, ooh, that's a lot better. Like, people are just. We're taxed up the wazoo here, and I hear it all the time, especially right now as you're paying it. It's like I'm trying to figure out if there's a game we can play to actually lower the tax even marginally to help market this.
I mean, yeah, that's where this consulting comes in, to be honest. We're all looking going, well, we don't know if that would be enough to warrant the money we would lose for our projects, right?
I mean,
they would tell you, this guy knows what he's talking about. He'll tell you, yeah, you're not going to get that much out of it. It's easier to put the headline, like, you know, great infrastructure improvements without, you know, raising your taxes, you know. And he will tell us which ones to put forward. For example, we probably would not put the maintenance center on there. We would use our funding, that $5 or $6 million, that would be part of it, but we would probably put baseball fields ahead of it, new greenhouse, beach improvements. If a dog park comes in, maybe a dog run over here, things like that, that would really get people excited.
Dog park. I never want to talk dog park. I saw this in the packet, and I was like, please don't talk dog park ever again. Would he ever consider working on contingency?
Probably not, no.
Contingency?
Like the tax appeals?
Yeah, no.
I mean, you know, we'll give you 20 grand, and you get 50 grand more if it passes.
I'd be honest, he just would say, no, I have enough business, I don't need to.
I mean, I guess the other question is, we're a fairly Democratic town if you look at the election of 2022. When did we vote for president last?
2016.
We're definitely
a Democratic town.
The question is it almost like, you know, if the Democratic voters during presidential election tend to do this, are we wasting money on food we get anyway? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. It's really important to make sure we tell the good side and bad side associated with this, and the transparency, making sure the voters understand what they're voting for. And I think that way of framing it is going to be important so that there are people that have a positive view.
But we can also get the GBA people can start a citizens group. You could start, the tennis clubs could start a citizen. Like, there's
and
ways out. I'm not saying no to the consultant. I just want us to make sure that we're 75,000 that's fixing two baseball fields. So it's a lot of money. I just want to make sure that we're kind of going in eyes wide open. I don't disagree. I think a consultant.
Yeah,
is,
I mean, I don't. Maybe I don't know what the right answer is
for conversation point.
The downside of not passing it, pretty significant cost. From
Yeah, but that, I will say, if this is almost like the pure hockey, when they tell me I have to go for that hockey helmet because my kid only has one brain. You could sell my wife, the hockey helmet could be $500,000. She's like, oh, my kid only has one brain, I'm going to buy that one, right? Like, I don't want to be scared by a consultant into spending the $75,000. If we think there's a reasonable chance, a high degree chance, that if you have a democratic population and you have a message of either lowering or saying no increases in taxes and it's a high likelihood of passing, I personally want to keep $75,000. I'm not opposed to it. It's the absolute safe way to go, but it's an expensive safe way. And I'm just putting it out there, and I will shut up now.
But I think it's worth bringing it up. We're not deciding on this anytime.
No, you know, to be honest, we want to go for November election. We should probably make the decision in January.
Yeah.
Okay. So that we engage him, so we can get off and running with everything.
I kind of agree with Michael that it would be probably pretty easy to get a positive campaign going, and we could probably mimic what others have done with our own talent.
Do we know what the village did with the golf course?
I don't believe they engaged anybody.
Everyone,
but they had a very strong.
I mean, you don't know half of the voted for.
Citizens what group, that golf group, did a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, they did a really good job, but that's where, you know, if we want the harder route, the easy route to go is to write the check for $75,000. It's a much easier route. I think a tougher route is to bring in the people who would benefit the most from this. And GBA is kind of one. Tennis groups are kind of another. Lakefront, you know, people who like the beach is another. I don't know, and I'd ask you. Five, like who would be the best people to speak on our behalf if we didn't go with a consultant?
I think you identified
a problem. Is it possible, if we're going to go the route of not going consultant, is it possible, all right, we don't go consultant, let's say it doesn't pass in November, or whenever, like, November. Right? Yeah. Is it possible then to just say, all right, let's hire him for April and go that route? I mean,
I just wish it is. That's what Thailand.
Time to hire, because the bounds are going to fall off, and you're looking at trying to squeeze all that work in between November and the April election to still be able to issue the bounds and get it on the tax roll for that year. So that's a pretty aggressive timeline.
And with that election, there tends to be more older people that go out to vote for those smaller elections.
They don't care as much.
They don't care as much. They would love their taxes to go down. So there's that. There's always that risk. So
I wish we talked about this 6 months ago.
It's a no tax increase. It's amenities people want. You've got interest. I'm trying to think of what is the interest group that is not going to want. Who's going to campaign against this in this election? I have a hard time, especially if. I think since we put, 200,000 in the Fund 65 budget, or Fund 69, I can't remember, for architectural plans, if we have, people can imagine how the dollars will be spent, we apply that $200,000 toward what's in the referendum. I mean, I think that our money is spent on just being transparent and having them picture it. And be able to see it and understand the story. I think we can do what this consultant's doing. I think we have a good base here of voters who have consistently been supportive, and we're not asking for a levy increase, and we're asking for things that there's support for. It's not like Highland Park where they wanted to combine schools and people were losing something
because they were combining schools.
Like, these other levies that have been lost because there's, I don't know, kind of like some sort of fear involved in the project.
Do you think there's any anger in the community? I'm sorry. Do you think there's any anger in the community because of the golf course?
I do think there's anger in the community because of the golf course, but I also think that's because taxes were increased. And I think that's where, you know, an Aaron over here who is hopefully versed in the marketing of this, and I think you're right, but You are 100% right. I agree with you. The question is, do we have time between now and January to light up the GBAs, the tennis clubs of the world to say, hey, do we have equipment? Because if we don't, then I think you have a rationale to go the consultant route. And there is no right answer. And every time I bring up a question, I'm bringing it up simply to have us think these things through.
No, I agree. It's a great discussion because
if you can light them up in the next 5 to 6 weeks, that's an avenue that we could take. If not, maybe go consultant.
And I think almost if you have
like this town hall meeting
and a consultant's doing the talking, doesn't that give you an easy feeling? That's like you hired a consultant.
Well, I don't think people know. I think people who come to this meeting would hear about it. It's public, and we wouldn't deny it. But I think the idea is to keep it as kind of under. The messaging is more important than how the messaging is given out.
We employed a consultant for our
master plan,
comprehensive plan. Isn't that kind of doing the legwork of what the community wants in the referendum?
Some of the portions. So I look at this, this gentleman is more of a how do we market it, helping with that portion of it. So, I could go back and say, okay, we don't want the community survey, we don't want this, we really just want help with how to do the marketing portion of it, see if he just does portions of it. His specialty is that he'll go in and figure out whether you should even go or not. I think.
Well, we have it go. I mean, that's
we have a pretty strong.
I don't think you have from your conversation of can we wait from November to April, and that was like the look on your face says we really don't want to. That to me says that decision's been made. The question is the marketing. It very well may be worth it. If you can in the next few weeks get the sustainability. Glencoe Sustainability can market this, GBA, whoever else is out there.
It's a pickleball.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't know with holidays, I don't know if we can get commitments of anybody.
Yeah, so if you can't, then you go to
Ryan, and I think
right?
the, and building. I think building up though that base takes longer than 6 weeks. It's having those community meetings. Can we do it? Absolutely. Then we could talk because one of our ideas is that. Why don't we move the greenhouse from back here because we really need the space and move that greenhouse over by actually the community garden as an active. So, boy, we probably got buy-in from them if we did that because we're saying we're committing to this greenhouse in this place. So, could we get it? Yeah, I mean, do you have any in there?
Yeah, I think you're
all in the meeting.
Risk, right? You've got an 86% success rate and you're paying for that. I think our staff is very talented and can do a lot. We're just making a calculated decision on what the risk tolerance are. I think we have a lot of buy-in from people in the community. We struggle to get them to turn up to meetings a lot of the time, so just getting them to get out and to raise signs for us and put yard signs might be tricky even if they are in favor of it. So,
and there was a lot of people, again, everyone who didn't turn up for the last election is the man that the golf course passed.
Right.
And we might say we're not raising taxes, but, how many people are going to be skeptical and say I don't buy it or whatever. And the referendum thing could leave a bad taste in anyone's mouth, given the golf course. And I'm assuming people thought it would pass, and they were like, I don't need to go out and vote for it, against it. I don't know anyone who's, except for one or two people who are happy about it. So. I mean, my two cents on it is if the staff thinks that this is the best route, I would be in support of it. If they think they can, yes, you can do it without a consultant, I'm in support of it personally. It's a tricky one because, the referendum thing, I think it just rubs people the wrong way. Like you said, we're in a community that's already taxed. Extremely high, and we say we need this referendum. We're not going to raise taxes. How many people are going to look at it and say, "What's the catch?" What's really happening? So I don't know. That's just my thought on it.
And that's my biggest concern is that first of all, people don't sometimes know the difference between Park District and Village, and they think the golf course. How many people come to me? So what's the status? I'm like, that's a Village project. So I would say. if it was, if theirs didn't pass or they never put it up, and we were to have this discussion, I'd say let's try to shelf, because I think it would pass with all the things. Now with
the golf course, in our plan.
Now they're like, you know, so they're just, the park district's just asking for more money, and I think Paul can help us navigate that whole thing, because we said here's our problem. You know, we need this money for this infrastructure, and the golf course just passed a referendum that doesn't, it has nothing to do with us, and people are really mad about it. Well, because they didn't think it was honest and transparent, I think.
I feel like we're hiring a wedding planner. It's like,
I know, right? It's you know, like, it doesn't build me either. We had the same exact discussion.
1 out of 10 people golf, but everybody uses the park district. I just don't think they're comparable.
What's the fee versus the amount?
It's we figured out it was point.
Yeah, it's a $75,000 fee on an approximate principal issue of about 13.8.
So it's like a half percent.
Correct. Yeah, a little over a half percent.
Well, I mean, I defer to Carol on a lot of stuff in municipal finance. My background's in corporate finance, but you know, it's sort of like, I look at it simplistically as maybe a half a percent insurance fee. Gives you much higher probability of success. Plus, I've always amazed at the wide variety of things that staff does so well. So it's like, as Lisa said, this is not a very area of expertise. So it's like, let's distract you from what you're doing, get into a different area. And, you know, so then you go, okay, what if we're at 60% probability of success? I don't know. I look at the chart and go, I want success. I don't want that. So I would like, I guess my thought is, I'm sort of like Jordan, it's like, I'm looking at it two ways, but I guess I'd like more information. I'd probably personally bias towards getting an expert with proven expertise for a relatively small amount, and just say that that increases their probability of success, and then we don't have this hanging over us.
Did he write the ballot language?
Yes, he helps with that. Mm-hmm. He does the voter analysis, voter identification, the meetings with staff to generate all the, so there's a lot of background information that we're going to give him and say, these are our problems, the golf course, this and this and this. Creation of a citizen task force to help us, help us with that, and facilitation of the meetings. He prepares the FAQ documents and the fact sheet. He helps with the informational mailers, reviews all of our press releases, so works with Aaron on those to make sure the language is correct. Surveys if we want to gather input on funding proposals, so to make sure we're asking for what people would pass, and then provide the ballot questions.
The struggle here is the timing for me. I think we could do this with grassroots. But if you really want to go in November.
I don't know if I printed out enough. I can make another copy.
I trust that what you said is correct. I think BART makes a lot of sense. Small-ish fee relative. If we don't have time to get our folks aligned, we don't have the bandwidth. We're also a small park district, right? It's not like we're enormous and have extra people hanging around.
If I look at Glenview, and they have a much larger staff, and they went for help, and Park Ridge went for help. You can see the list of park districts.
Plan.
It's a lot. It's insurance.
It's an insurance plan. I don't think we need the insurance plan. But I also think that we don't really have time to make another decision.
Aaron, what's your thought on this, based on, because a lot of this does fall into.
I actually think of it more again like a wedding planner instead of an insurance plan, because I'm perfectly capable of planning a wedding. It's gonna be great. It's gonna just tax the heck out of me. At the end of the day, I'm going to be grateful that we had one. I think, my two cents is given the timing that we have, if we had a year to do this, I'd probably say, I'd probably sway another way, but I'm not. I wish we can get them down a little bit. I find $75,000 to be a lot of money for this, because I think they're a slam dunk community as well.
And, you know, if you want, I can go back and say, okay, the board really can't swallow that. Can we take away the survey? Because we know what we have. We know we're just getting our community survey back. We kind of know what people want.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you hate to do
so many surveys.
Yeah. We could just say, hey, we don't need that part. If we take that, you know, he did say he also works with, if there's a pro group, a yes group, he works for them because pro bono. He does that by himself. I know this community, I was talking to staff, this community is not one to like having the yard signs up that say vote yes. You know, they don't like.
I don't think we can.
We had it for the school board election.
Oh, you did?
Yes. The caucus candidates vote for the top five.
Oh, for New Trier. For the New Trier set.
Oh, that's
that was
right.
Kind of
yes, that is right. I thought
right.
We were
right. They did have
like certain. Yeah,
that's right.
Signs. I don't know who created them and who was the caucus itself.
Yeah,
they,
top
which
three.
They can. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like top three or whatever, and there were a lot of those.
Yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that. That's a good call.
And it's a presidential campaign season, so there's going to be presidential campaigns.
Yeah, so they would help develop that citizens group to advocate, so if we wanted. But, you know.
To your point, it really is messaging that, and it's telling the majority of the team, and having that people that are clearly
say
how that message is going to resonate, and
we're
too close to it, it's good to have that
third party thing. I agree. I 100% agree. And again, to your point, yes, people use the park district more than they use the golf course. People use the parks than they use the golf course, but how many people, to Lisa's point, think the golf course is part of the park district and are pissed at us about that? So
we're coming back and asking, in their mind, more money, the people that aren't educated enough to.
That has to be part of the action.
Yeah.
This is the warning Andre gave me when I joined the park district, that the leadership is right, like 98% of the time. It just takes, you know, us board members a little bit of time to get there. I'm not for this, but I'm certainly not against it. I don't love it. It may just be a necessary evil.
I don't love it.
Maybe a wedding.
I don't love it either. But
it's a wedding planner.
Necessary evil. I agree.
Karen, what you just said about you have a full-time job and then to add this on it, this is actually less expensive than hiring. It's just like contracting out temporary assistant.
Yes, that's a great way to look at it.
Let's see if we can get it down a little bit.
Okay.
Make it palatable.
Yeah, I don't think we
give us a win.
For the services here.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go through it and say, okay, we need this and this and this part of it, and I'll work with Aaron and the team on that.
And we can take the $238 from the Boy Scouts and put it towards this fund here to lower our expenditures.
Oh gosh. Okay, so our consensus is that see if we can negotiate down a little bit, but consensus is, yeah, this would be a good idea, and I'll bring back agreement in January.
But let's think about, can we think about the citizen groups that, I think the Sustainability Task Force and I think GBA would be too, that would be high up there.
The Friends of the Green Bay Trail
is
a huge proponent. We have the GBA is a huge one. Community Garden is another one. We're big in the community, so
Rotary Club, get those.
The Lakefront group, because you know they've been asking for improvements.
But is that too close to the park district, the Lakefront Advisory Group?
No, they're
they're citizens.
Well, they would be citizens in that aspect, so yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we'd ask Paul because that's a good question. They're not elected board members, so they're not. You can't say yes.
Thank you for letting us think about this out loud.
No, I'm glad you did, because we had the same discussion today for a good hour, like, oh gosh, this is a lot, but then we had that same discussion, so. Okay. All right, we're ready to move on to the next one then.
Oh gosh. I forgot about the agenda.
We actually have it more, you know, it's a big tonight.
Yeah, so okay. This wasn't on the agenda exactly.
No, it's kind of It's on the agenda.
No,
we were hoping,
on the agenda.
We were hoping we got the proposal. It was on the agenda. Yeah,
it's under Fund 69.
It is under Fund 69. Right. That's what has to fund our project. So.
So I was under the impression that the beach cast discussion was going to be at a future meeting.
Yeah, so, well, we just want to bring up a few things. So, you know, the board asked us to bring it back, or to think about how to bring it back. So we just wanted to bring a couple ideas for you. So, do you want to take over? Or?
Yeah, so we talked about it in the last meeting, but obviously we have the community survey out, and, you know, we're thinking about it. Staff really thinks it's important to make sure we get those results and get to analyze them before we make any major changes. So some of our concerns were related around the brochure and the timing in January. So we discussed it internally. What we're going to do is, the board's okay with this, is to put limited information in the brochure only about passes and guide people to the website for daily fees. That gives us some runway to be able to make some updates.
Can I give a backtrack?
Yeah.
We need it in January. It doesn't actually go to the public until March. We just have to go. It takes us a long time to go through the editing process and then the printing process and the mailing process, etc. So that's what it is.
So we don't want to rush the decision because of the deadline of the printer. We think just putting the past information in the brochure, and if we are able to make the decision for that, great, but we just don't want to have to rush it based on the deadline.
So what we don't want to do is we don't want to this year promise that you may not be able, if you don't bypass, you can't have access to the beach on the weekends. Part of our concern is what the board, the survey comes back different and says we want daily access. The second part is, what if we don't sell enough season passes? What if all of a sudden this year we have half the amount of season passes and that? Probably won't happen, but it gives us more flexibility to make that decision we have to. But we also heard loud and clear, and Commissioner Covey is exactly right. It's, we have this great asset, and we didn't build that asset. Do we maintain it? Absolutely. Do we provide everything? In there we do, and that's when we get those fees to upkeep those. But so much is given, and are we keeping away people on the weekends when they have a day off from utilizing our beach? So we're racking our heads, and I'm going to give the credit totally to Bobby, because I go, Bobby, how can we do a scholarship for the beach? Well, how can we give non-resident scholarships for the beach? How do we get this out there? And he goes, you know, tell me your idea, because it was brilliant. So we still have more investigation to do on it, but.
So there's a library program called Museum Pass. Where,
yeah.
Yeah. So
it's great.
We could potentially look to partner with one of those two pass options, where you could add the beach pass to this museum pass for certain libraries, for communities that would traditionally have access to Glencoe Beach. We're not saying that everybody could access this, but if you could give them a limited number of passes, or people who truly have a financial need could go and borrow the pass from the library, use it, and return it.
I love that. That is like, I cannot believe I never thought of that. The Glencoe Park District used to do that, not Park District, Glencoe Library, I wish that woman were still here. Would do that for people who just wanted to go to the Botanic Gardens once or something like that, and you could check it out once, and they would monitor it. But I think that is fabulous.
We could also give passes to our state senators and representatives. Their offices are really close. Again, by giving them, then that builds goodwill with our representatives, and also they do it now for what
that museum pass. The museum pass, like the library.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
So
and you could give it to them.
To their residents that we have these passes and can check them out for a week at a time. Again, there's a limited number of them, so it's not 100 people getting it. It's family of four, family of six.
So you can go on a wait list.
You want to wait this or say, I'm going to pick this week. And we can determine how many we want to give to them. Well, we've got basically three representatives in our district that we can give it to. But it's just it's a different way of thinking about it.
I knew if we pushed you hard enough, you'd find something.
So we wouldn't have a huge influx of, like, you know, 300 people using these passes, because we would limit them. So it's actually better than giving out scholarships for the passes. Because if we did scholarships, they might come every weekend, right? We might give out 100 scholarships, for example, for passes, and they might come every weekend and overcrowd the beach. This way, there's a lot of control there. And we could also, the other option was, should we put on the passes, would you like to contribute to a scholarship fund? So maybe we put out 25 family passes that are eligible for a scholarship and the first 25 apply if we get enough people to contribute to that, and that would be for non-residents. Because right now, residents could apply for beach passes. We do that. We actually have quite a few that get scholarship for beach passes, but non-residents aren't eligible for our scholarship program. So it would be like, if you want to fund a scholarship for non-residents to come use this, that's another option to put out. So we're looking at the social equity portion of that while still keeping our beach safe, which we know Commissioner Schneider's very worried about too, and this would have control, because if they're checking out that pass, we know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little more control. They're taking that time to go get the pass, come in.
Sounds great.
Love it.
So we can explore that. We can look into what that looks like and something down that road and come back and work.
All right,
great. Okay, so we'll proceed that, and then we'll revisit this once that survey is done to see what people are indicating. And I think this will make everybody happy. It's like a nice solution for everybody. So, all right, thank you.
Okay, is there any other business to cover before we move on to the next item?
There is not. Just a reminder that the ribbon cutting for Weinberg Family Recreation Center Saturday at 11 o'clock. So I hope you all can come and I know you're out of town, Michael, I'm sorry about that. Senator Morrison will be there, so we're excited about that.
Is it business attire, do you think, for this ceremony? I don't know what to
wear. What you have on now is perfect, so yes, this is schedule.
Will it be outside?
It depends. If it's going to rain, we're moving inside. We'll make that decision probably Friday. Right now it's outside, but if it's rainy, then we'll move it inside.
I just want to make an announcement while the other staff are here. We had a birthday party for my daughter on Saturday, and the staff came to be more wonderful.
I love to hear that.
Great. Everything about it went smoothly. Everyone was really helpful. So I just, while their bosses are here, I just want
that's to awesome. And did they like the facility?
They did. and you know what? We had another birthday party Saturday afternoon. It's going to rain. So.
It's interesting because a team that gets new uniforms, like new uniform designs, do slightly better than they did the previous year. And there's like a statistical analysis on teams in new uniforms. And I wonder if staff with new facilities are just happier.
Right?
And they got new uniforms.
There we
so
go. I knew it. Okay.
They had to get all new stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, my kids take there a bunch, and everything has just been spectacular. So nice to hear.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, I think we can. We're going to dismiss all staff except for Lisa and John to cover the next agenda item. So thanks for your time.
And you guys don't even have to stay. You can go home.
Yes. Please.
See your families.
Sure.
Nice job with the beach passes. That's makes me feel. I like the teachers and the staff and what we can do to help out the community is great, and not just our community but others. I think it's a really nice job.
I think you were at. You missed that meeting where we did reissue for the village staff.
No,
okay, you were there.
Yeah,
you were
gym,
Stephanie was
and
missing.
The gym
okay.
It was,
yep.
I think it's great.
And they were thrilled when I told them. So.
Oh, good.
Perfect.
You know, it builds camaraderie.
Yep. We just ask the staff to step out because sometimes it's awkward to have a discussion in front of all the staff. So that's why they'll find out. But we just thought we wanted to make it more comfortable for the board to have this discussion.
It's always a favorite one. And Stephanie's not here for it.
I know.
I have an email from her.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, well, Stephanie,
can we just
email
read
me anything.
Email first to get her comments?
Well, do you want to do your little...
Lisa and John for that.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's right. Sorry, I was thinking
and
I already read through it.
But... just so I don't mischaracterize it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you might have read through the memo already, but just a brief overview. So, given the significance of the salaries and wages on our overall budget, we just wanted to provide our recommendation for your consensus on the upcoming 2024 merit increase. As part of the process, we do review market data and gather information from peer districts along with the data.
school. Some of the other districts fall anywhere from 3 to 5%, but it's important to keep in mind that a few of those really had to ratchet up in the prior year to keep pace with market conditions, whereas we kind of kept it steady at 5. Also, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, their most recent data released at quarter ending September 30 showed that compensation to state and local government employees had increased an average of 4.8% over the past 12 months. So that's another kind of data point to point to. And as a reminder, the board did approve the 5.15% increase in our operating tax levy at last month's board meeting, which of course is capped by TESOL at 5%. So we're comfortable that we have the 5% increase there to fund this year's merit.
Any other comments?
Yeah, Stephanie. I know where Stephanie's going, but I always like to hear it.
I always like, well, you're looking for that. I always like to remind staff, our staff, the board, that when you look at the village and District 35 in particular, their annual salaries are incredibly higher, much higher than our average salary for a lot of times is very similar jobs. So when you're looking at their percentage, it's not apples to apples. A lot of times it's because they already have much higher wages.
And that is just for non-union staff.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty non-union staff. Union staff are usually not depicted here, and they're usually, I know the school, when the school district has 4%, they're negotiating now, and I asked her, they're more at a 5 to 6% for their union staff, so their teachers and such.
What happened in Glenview last year?
They understood really quick that they were not competitive.
Okay.
And that's one of the examples that they jumped it up.
Yeah.
And they're to be determined, they're watching what we're all doing, because they want to be, they're going to try to go higher than us then to capture all of our staff.
Yep.
And they do the same thing. They're trying to capture our staff. You know, while we're not competitive, we are for good staff, and so we have to be competitive in salaries. So that's what happened.
Okay. You want Stephanie's comment?
Yep.
As this won't surprise anyone, my opinion hasn't changed since last year, where I feel that 5% should not be the new norm. Why not meet in the middle at 4%? But I also don't see anything insulting with 3%. We can't continue at this pace, in my opinion, and I feel like these special years and considerations are starting to happen every year, where we are higher than other Glencoe entities in neighboring park districts. Happy to discuss further if need be.
Thank you, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. I like how she started off with, as you know what I'm going to say.
Well, I did email her because I was like, she has an opinion on this.
Yeah.
Should we go around?
I have to say, she had a great comment on the Wyburn Family Recreation Center, and she pushed to go for a larger amount, and based on, and that's where we ended up. And I do respect her comments. I don't completely agree, but I appreciate her perspective and point of view.
Well, I guess tell us your comments. I guess what are you thinking? Since you said you don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, yeah. So, 2023, I think. The increase, including the big numbers like Glenview, I think that averages like 5.8% or so for the whole area. So, you know, we aren't there, and I know last year we didn't get as much as the rate of inflation. So, I'm consistently impressed by just excellence across the district, and that's not accidental. Part of this leadership, part of this life. Churn, and I'm a guess, but I could be wrong. I would think we have a lower churn among the staff than most of the other park districts. And churn is expensive. You have to lose people, you have to pay higher than once, whatever. So I would like to maintain staff. And I think we do that in ways other than compensation. Looking at the, I would like to be close to the actual inflation rate year to date, which was it 4.8% or 4.3%? What was the number?
I think you said 4.8.
4.8 was a year-over-year statistics, but year-to-date was 3.2, actually.
Right. But, yeah.
But again, that's not enough.
But that was... The only question I would ask before saying, yeah, I would like to do 5% is, you're the point person on the budget. What is 5%? And I would see you when I'm blowing a big hole in the budget if we're with Pete Health at 5.3% and here we're doing 5%. Some days things look easy here, and I know how hard it is to get this level of excellence. I'd like to maintain that, and paying still less than or right around the rate of inflation. I don't like the idea of saying let's cut back a little bit, and then all of a sudden you don't have the same level of positivity. Something can change. I mean, I find a lot of times if there's equilibrium, it doesn't take too much to move off of equilibrium. So this would seem like a logical thing for me.
What do you think, Jordan? This is your first go around at this.
Well, I'm looking at that 9% in Glencoe or Glenview last year, and I don't want to be in a situation where we have to do that because people are going to other districts that are paying us. And granted, we are a small district. I get that. And to Stephanie's point, I also agree we can't operate effectively at this being the new norm, but however, with inflation, with economic conditions as such, with any kind of factor you want to take in from the state level to the county level to the whatever federal level, it doesn't matter. Post-COVID world is a lot different than a pre-COVID world. And that's not even talking about regulation, that's just talking economics. My company personally just had slightly over 60 resignations in the last month because they're giving 2% raises or something to most people, and they're going to one of our competitors who's, you know, not doing that. I'm not opposed to it. I wouldn't even be opposed to going in between 4 and 5%, somewhere in the middle. But I'm not opposed to it because the alternative is we end up lagging behind, we end up losing talent, and it's going to cost more to hire new talent, it's going to cost more to train new talent than there is going to be. And then you get that revolving cycle of turnover as people start to jump ship because they... You know, they're like, oh, these people get this percentage increase, we only get that. Whatever the case may be. Yeah, I agree there's other perks that you can entice people with outside of cash, but, you know, to everyone I know, compensation is always their number one. So, again, I'm okay with the 5, but I also agree, again, with Stephanie's comments and with yours, I'm good at we want to negotiate somewhere in between 4 and 5, but I'm not at all opposed to 5, just given knowing where that could lead down the road if we aren't competitive with our surrounding jurisdictions.
Michael, what do you think?
I don't think you're going to have any difference in retention at 4 versus 5. I think you will at like 2 or 3 versus 4 or 5. But I don't think 4 or 5 you're going to have a difference in retention. I always like to hit the easy button. So I will hit the easy button here and say I am happy with 4.8. That's the national average. That's what state and local governments are doing. I'm okay with it. I would have probably said 4.5. The reason why I was just thinking, you know, over 2 years we're at 5 plus 5, which I know you can't just add up and say that's 10, but I will, just for the sake of this argument. You know, that means Deerfield's at 8, so 10 versus 8, that's 25% higher if you add up 4 plus 4. Highland Park is at 9, Northbrook is at 9.5, Wilmette is at 11, so a little bit higher. But I think Wilmette had probably had that problem in 2023. Winnetka's at 8, and NSSRA I'm not including, because those are probably the toughest damn jobs that human beings could ever do. So I think, you know, us being at 10, I'd like to see us kind of in line with market. I'd probably err towards a 4 to 4.5. But in all honesty, I just don't think it matters that much. I think you're playing with, you know, $20,000. So, or $30,000. It's a point is $30,000?
Correct.
Yeah, a point is $30,000, and, you know, so I will, as long as it's somewhere between 4 and 5, I will vote yes. Yeah, I'll let someone who has more thoughts on this.
I mean, I have thoughts. I guess I meant more at the 4%. I think just because our levy's up 5% doesn't mean we should necessarily grow with it, because there will be years where we won't have that. And we're going to need to borrow from other years to have a meaningful 2.5-3% salary increase. For example, you know, inflation may not be down to 2% next year, but our levy might not grow, be able to grow, you know, at that 5% level. I think we want to have some flexibility, and I think we don't necessarily want to have the expectation that it'll necessarily match. I think inflation's come down, so to raise their wages higher than 5% or higher than inflation over the next year, and it's slowly coming down, I don't think it's necessary. And also, this is really interesting to me because I feel like the last 2 years I've been lucky to get a 2% raise. Like, the private sector is nowhere near this, and I understand there's different kind of considerations in perhaps a little starting point. It's harder to get people into these public-facing jobs, etc. But I think to some extent the dynamics that we had last year are starting to slow down, and just, I think, kind of ratcheting it down to kind of getting to a more normal level rather than keeping it elevated 5%, 5%, 5%. And it just makes more sense to me, and I think we'd still be competitive with our neighbors. The ones who raised it so high, I think we had other issues to begin with. So I guess just 5 just seems too high to me. I'm kind of with you guys. I'd probably be okay with 4.5, but I don't really see the reason not to go to 4, given that inflation has come down. I think also our fiscal year is probably different than maybe some of these other numbers are representing, so by the time this goes into effect, you know, we're probably looking at closer to like 3.5-3% inflation rate.
So, where does that leave us?
I wish Stephanie was here. I mean, I kind of asked. I think 4 is fine.
I have a question. So, if you eliminate senior staff and just look at the rest of the staff, it was full-time part of it, like, how do their compensation levels compare to, like, the general population? And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, you know, how close are they to just, like, breaking even? How close are they to say, gee, I got an extra month's worth of cash, so I can pay next month's rent, but I don't have any cushion. I mean, I assume we have people who are like that. So, while we might say, hey, another 1% doesn't make a difference to us, you know, if they're saying, you know, I need to not worry when I get home, can I pay the bills? And I think we have people like that, am I right? Or
probably, but I have people on my team at work who make, you know, $50,000 a year and live in expensive places, and they're only 4%.
And Lisa has the ability to say, look, if the whole payroll is $1 million, which is, I don't know what our payroll is, but if our whole payroll is $1 million and we get 5%, you can dole that $50,000. You know, 50,000 is, if you get 5%, 50,000 is up to the leaders to say who gets it. Now, you have to rob from Peter to pay Paul, but maybe a 3% for a senior leader is still more cash than a 5% for a lower employee, and they can play around with that. I think we have to probably... I think we have to ask ourselves two questions. One of which is this the year of a correction? Like, what Glenview had last year, that 9%? To me, I don't think it's the year of a correction. And I think once we ask ourselves that, then you can ask yourself, you know, what's the right number? And so let me, is there any reason for us to think of this as a correction year?
No.
I mean, I personally don't see so as well, so I'm kind of glad. So like, if that's the case, then, you know, I think y'all can live with the number that we put out and dole it out. Because you're absolutely right. Like if we have to make a correction like we did with Children's Circle, and we actually sort of already did with Children's Circle by creating those new levels out there and having new people, I think that correction was made there. So to me, it's just I think this is a kind of a black and whitish kind of issue. Is, you know, knowing where the park district is and knowing where the economy is. You know, it does surprise me that public sector is at 4.8, if that's the average over the past 12 months. And you're saying you're at the 2s to 3s. We were at 4 last year, and it was, you know, anarchy, but last year was also much higher inflation than it is this year. Can I just ask, like, can we at least narrow this down? Is a 4 to 5 range the range that we're all looking in? Like, does anyone have a hard time? Does anyone feel, besides Stephanie, that we should...
I think about it, I would vote 5.
You vote 5?
I would vote 5, because I think there's a gray area there. And I guess I defer back to Jordan. Tell me this, all those people who just left, how easy is it going to be to replace those people?
Impossible.
Very easy. And I think that's with us. I mean, we have an excellent staff, but we can't always fill all the positions.
Hiring is brutal.
For another 15 or 30,000, I would say let's try to keep the staff.
It's a lot of insurance plans that we're putting in. Like, we're saying, oh, let's pay $75,000 to kind of ensure that we get this bond done, right? We are layering insurance, and I personally do not think that 1% is going to make a difference. I don't. Whether or not we should do it is a different story. But like, I don't think our retention of employees is going to be dramatically different at 4 versus 5. 2, absolutely, because it's also a symbol. If you go at 2, you're basically saying you guys are all overpaid. But I think between 4 and 5, and if you're saying 5, and I think I hear you saying 4.
I'm good between 4. I wouldn't feel comfortable going lower than 4. You know, I'm not worth stepping that in the 3% range.
You're stepping that at the 3%. That would be insulting.
Yeah, Stephanie was at the 4. Okay. I kind of felt like
was her 4. I think I'm around 4 too, because I think that's more reflective of the cost of living adjustment. And we raised our salaries pretty significantly in the last 2 years. And I think the only one going higher than 4 is Northbrook right now, and they had lower increases the last 2 years.
And one of the biggest expenses that people paid when we did this conversation last year was gasoline. And gas has come down dramatically. I would split it somewhere. I think if 4.8 is the average, could we call it 4.25 and go somewhere towards 5, towards 4.
I hate to say, I know gas has come down, inflation has come down. I haven't felt inflation come down, but I know that everything I've read says it has.
It has. I mean, the rate has come down. That does not mean your prices haven't come up. Going from inflation of 10% to inflation of 5% still means that I'm paying way too much for a gallon of milk.
Right.
Okay, but when will the question of poaching end? Like, we're going to worry about this next year and the next year and the next year. Like, is there a year where we're like, we're going to...
Every year we have this conversation. I mean, it's brutal every year.
The other factor comes to the current job market is terrible. And not from like a I'm searching for a job standpoint, which I'm sure it also is, but from the I want to hire standpoint. I mean,
he's right. It's brutal.
It's... And you're right, I don't think that 1% is going to retain anyone, or no one's going to leave because they're getting 4 versus 3. I'm all for rewarding exceptional performance. I would say that we have had that here from everything I've seen and heard, all of our survey results, etc. I agree also that, you know, continuously doing 5% isn't, for a small district like us, it's not sustainable long term. But I mean, if we're going to look at reality, you know, inflation, gas prices, all that, that can all shoot up at any point between now and the election, post-election, doesn't matter. I mean, it's hard to judge just saying that things are going down because the economy right now is so volatile and national that you can, whatever you want to point to, we don't, that's another discussion. But I don't want to just look at it as that. I'm looking at it as, well, yeah, what are our neighbors doing? And you're right, there, none of them are going 5, right? So,
I think some of it is CBD. But someone somewhere is doing something if the national average is 4.8. Like that's,
well, that's the thing. So if the national average is 4.8, how much below that do we really want to go, I guess? And I do actually find it weird, like you said, that the average is 4.8.
I find
it. So the 12 months ended September 30th. That's not a going forward wage increase.
People who had their fiscal year, it includes teachers, it includes vendors and things like that. So, I don't know.
That's retrospective of wage increases implemented. It's not prospective.
Right.
So I think the 4.8% captures that last year was a record inflation year.
Right.
Is 4.25 like unpalatable? Is 4.25 to 4.5 palatable? I mean,
I just think it needs to be under 5.
I'm fine with under. If the three of you want to go towards 4.75, I'm not going to. I don't think it matters.
I could be okay with 4.5, I guess, but I think it'd be good to like kind of ratchet it down versus like suddenly have to drop 1 year. I would like to maintain some flexibility in wages. I would like to have some cushion in case we have to, add to staff, or if we lose somebody and we have to give them an offer at a higher salary. Like, and it may not have to do with whether or not it's a 4 or 5% raise. I mean, the best way to increase your salary is to get a new job. Everybody knows that. If you really want a meaningful raise, you have to get a new job, regardless where you start over with your salary.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody's going to get what they want just incrementally each year in their current job. So I don't think you can stop losing people with 5%.
What I like about 4.5 too is that it says, look, if you add us in Northbrook, who are kind of the same thing, Northbrook did 4.5 1 year and 5 next year, we're going to flip that and do 5 1 year and 4.5. There is a symbolism behind it, which I think Stephanie would appreciate, and I actually kind of somewhat agree with that. You know, you don't really want to cap out every year, so I think 4.5 is a standing compromise, but I want everyone to feel comfortable.
I agree with you. I think that is a standing compromise. That is 100% meeting in the middle of where
good
I feel I'm at and where you're at.
Well, I think what that does is it allows you to give some people a 5% increase and some people something closer to 4, so there's more flexibility for merit.
Yep, I agree.
Thank you.
One question, and obviously a lot of good things about staff, because that's what I feel. One of the things I really appreciate is staff is trying to negotiate. You don't ask for something and then say, well, they'll come back with a lower number, we'll go in between. Obviously, you wanted 5. The numbers in the budget showed 5 was something. Is there anything you'd want to say that kind of defends the 5% number that we can't do at the same point?
That's not in the memorandum. I know you outlined. I know you outlined what's in there. And
I just want to expand upon it. I would just say, to Jordan's point, I feel like a lot of folks still have not felt inflation come down yet. We reference gas prices. I feel they're still relatively high. We have a lot of folks at the unit there where we have the lake on outside. I can think of plenty of people that are in the $40,000 to $50,000 range that are commuting here. I think it's still tough for everyone. whether we're going to hopefully feel that relief soon. The numbers say we will. I totally understand each of your point too, for sure. I personally, I do view it as it's definitely going to be tied to the levy, and recognize that there are going to be years where we might dip below 3%, and then we are going to level off naturally over time. We do factor in the property too, so we hopefully will be a little more than 5%. We can't measure that until we know what the new property is. Personally, I would never recommend anything that I felt was irresponsible or put us in any way on a negative course. And I think this year the 5% still feels sustainable by all means. But again, I understand the argument of starting to ratchet it down a bit too.
For what it's worth, gas prices in June of 2022 were $5 a gallon on average. Now they're $3.30 a gallon. So last summer we were dealing with really dark. Two summers ago, highest. Do we all like 4.5? Or is that something that you're okay with, 4.5? Or do you want to give it one last ditch effort to bring?
It sounds like you're good at 4.5.
I am really good at 4.5. It is a compromise. It is, some get 5, some get 4. It is higher than most of the other districts around. It's on par with Northbrook. It's really close to the levy, and it sends the message, and I think the optics here are important, that we're not doing 5% every year. So I think there's a lot of good in the 4.5. I also hope that maybe they asked for this and we're okay with that. Which
it sounds like both of you are comfortable.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think Stephanie would be too. I think she's just uncomfortable with the 5.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, if you, not that I want to discount Stephanie's opinion, but if you have 3 of us that are okay at 4.5.
Yeah, although we are going to vote on it at the next meeting.
I mean,
I would go to 4.5. I think it's a really helpful discussion.
Yeah.
And we want to maintain good finances. We got other expenses we were planning on, like consulting,
sure,
things like that. So, I admire how happy the staff is and how well, how low the turnover is. And there's a lot more to that than just paying them. There's parties or just treating the people with respect and just across the board. I know we'll maintain that. I'm in support of whatever it takes to keep the really positive attitude and exceptional nature of the people here right now. So, but I think I agree with Michael. I think staff can do that at 4.5%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can. You get more, a little more.
Great compromise.
I think I would be surprised if next year is more like down to 3.5 and more.
Mm-hmm. I can't. We can barely figure out this year. I can't think about next year yet.
And we also, part of ours is that to Bart's point, we look at our salary survey, and if we see someone was brought in too low and they're here for 5 years, especially our early childhood teachers, we do salary adjustments if we need to.
Yeah.
If they were brought in too low for some reason or something, they're not matching up. So we're based on our salary survey, they asked us to do that. So what?
That's so nice of you. I wish every place.
I know.
Well, so I think when we did our salary survey, they said you have to do that. You have to keep on looking at to make sure, because all of a sudden you have people who've been here 10 years and are still making the minimum, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you guys are doing the right things. That's good.
And I agree. I don't think you would suggest something that would jeopardize us anywhere down the road, and that's why I am comfortable with the 5. But again, to your point, I am happy to compromise at 4.5. So,
that's one of the quickest discussions you've had on this matter.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it. And thorough.
Okay, I think we have a consensus for the next to move forward.
Okay, perfect.
Is that something that we vote on in January?
Or is this just part of the budget, right?
Correct, yeah.
It's part of the budget, so it's not a separate line item. We just put in the budget.
I don't think we vote on it.
Okay. Yeah.
We vote on the budget as a whole.
As a whole, so you have a chance to vote there, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I see there's no reason to enter into closed session.
No.
Can I recommend, I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Bart. Nine. Jordan.
I know, I gotta wake up in 8 hours.
Yeah, you gotta get home. I'll figure, yes. Okay, oh, that was one. Yes.
Nice job with the holiday party, whoever put that together. I didn't even bat an eyelash when Brian showed me the bill earlier.
Was it? Yeah, it was. That was. It was Jill.
Yeah.
She took the lead on that when Aaron was on vacation. Brian's on there. There's a whole committee that comes up with ideas.
Yeah, it was great.
The fund committee did a great job. And everybody enjoyed it. There's 70 people there, and they really enjoyed it.